Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Welcome to our second quarter 2018 business forecast review call. My name is Matt Johnson. I'm the Communications Director for the Office of Acquisition Assistance. Thank you once again for joining us today. I also want to thank everyone that submitted questions to our business forecast. I think we received somewhere around 160-some questions, which equals out to about 60-plus pages of questions and responses, which I think cover basically every mission, every operating unit, everywhere. I think it's exciting to see just such a broad interest across all of our missions, all of the work that we're doing. Thank you once again for that. I want to introduce just a couple of folks that we have in the room who you'll hear on this call today. We have Mark Walther, who's our Acting Director of the Office of Acquisition Assistance. We have Deb Broderick, who's a Deputy Director in the Office of Acquisition Assistance. Mauricio Vera, who's the Director of our Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization. Randy Tift, who's a Senior Advisor in the Office of Acquisition Assistance. He's also the Senior Leader Champion for the Effective Partnering and Procurement Reform Initiative. As we've done in previous calls, we'll be covering a few general questions related to the business forecast and not actually answering all 60-plus pages of it. I think that would probably take the full day. We're going to spend the majority of our time, I think, just going over a number of agency priorities. Since we get a chance to talk to folks, I think once a quarter through this call, we feel like it's a good chance to just provide updates on a number of other matters. Before we get started, just a couple of things. We do have the majority of your questions answered at this point. I was looking at all of our responses this morning, and we have probably five or six questions that we still need to get answered. We will be posting all of the responses later today on our business forecast webpage. For questions we don't have answered yet, we'll be updating the document later on, hopefully sometime early next week once we get those questions answered. We'll also be posting a recording of this call. We are recording it. If you missed it or any of your colleagues missed it, you can share the recording. We'll also be posting a transcript of it. Once we do have everything posted, we will notify you through our Twitter handle, which is @USADBizOps, and our email distribution list. Be on the lookout for that later today. To get started, I want to turn the call over to Randy, just to give us an update on what's happening with Effective Partnering and Procurement Reform.
Thank you, Matt. USAID Administrator Ambassador Mark Green has spoken publicly about a broad vision for more effective partnering by the agency and its development partners. Greater collaboration with our U.S. and host country partners in program planning, greater use of co-creation, co-design as a method of solicitation and potentially even post-award implementation, and greater reliance on co-financing with our partners. This vision points us toward new ways of working, building or revitalizing good and promising practices for designing and implementing program partnerships, and scaling emerging best practices in how USAID partners and broadening our partner base. We're very early in the process of reviewing core business models and still at an early stage of gathering input and feedback internally as well as externally with our partners. We can share a few key insights that inform our thinking and a first cut at key areas of opportunity that frame the way we're seeking input toward recommendations on more effective partnering. First, USAID relies heavily on the use of traditional solicitations, RFAs and RFPs, with the competitions resulting in traditional cost reimbursement, cooperative agreements, and contracts. Typically, USAID also defines the scope of the problem and the solution and specifically defines a program implementation approach rather than allowing the U.S. or host country partner to generate and apply solutions based on a deeper understanding of local context. We are often challenged in trying to attract new development partners to our work. These new partners can play either a critical niche role in multi-sector or large-scale programs or play a lead role in designing and implementing programs, either U.S. and international partners or local partners. These potential development partners can't break through often because USAID procurement processes are too challenging. We want to address these issues by diversifying the partnering approaches we are using, including solicitation methods that rely on collaboration and co-creation, which will also have the effect of diversifying our partner base to a broader range of organizations. We also hope to prioritize partner-driven innovative solutions, leverage private development assistance, and move more countries towards sustainable transitions and ultimately greater self-reliance in meeting their own development challenges. By doing this, we will better focus on strengthening local organizations' capacity and commitment so that they are leading in addressing the development challenges in their own country. We want to work on this agenda collaboratively with our current partners, identifying and developing new approaches hand in hand. As a starting point for this conversation, we've developed a framework, you might call them lenses, for pursuing better approaches. But we expect ideas and challenges will come up that fall outside these lenses too. So the goal of effective partnering and procurement reform is to develop and implement a series of interconnected and interdependent reforms to our program design and procurement processes aimed at fostering self-reliance. The work streams are these four. First, collaborative and diverse partnering. We want to enable more effective co-creation, innovative financing and partnerships with a diverse array of actors. Second, supporting local partners. We want to catalyze local, public, private, and nonprofit sector actors to own their own development objectives. Third, strategic and efficient partnering. We want to simplify and streamline processes in order to allow USAID staff to focus more of their time on fostering self-reliance and achieving development results. And finally, adaptive partnering. We want to create an agile and flexible agency that can adapt to changes on the ground to improve the effectiveness of our assistance, including fragile states and non-permissive environments. Our partners on the ground have the greatest knowledge of the local context and dynamics, and they need greater flexibility to pivot and adapt to changes as they occur on the ground. A big part of the adaptive management workstream is the need to identify partnering approaches that enable a high level of trust, open communication, and collaboration between USAID and our partners that's necessary to become more flexible. The big questions are around the concrete hows of increased flexibility. How do we do it? But USAID is already making progress in using flexible mechanisms, which involve USAID not over-prescribing an intervention up front, but building allowances for adaptation into awards. We hope by the end of summer 2018, we'll be able to deliver to the administrator a package of partnering and procurement reform proposals, and we've already worked with a number of you partners to collect ideas, and we look forward to doing more in the days ahead. Now I have the great privilege of turning over to Mark Walter.
Thanks, Randy. Really appreciate the update and all the efforts that you've been undertaking with Matt and other colleagues in regard to the external listening tours and the information you've been gathering from the partner community. I'd also like to briefly note, internally, we're working in parallel. We have monthly themes here in our Office of Acquisition and Assistance, and those themes are aligned along with the partner engagement and procurement reform efforts. And so we're continuing to work on gathering examples, best practices, and lessons learned along these different themes that Randy has mentioned, and we very much appreciate the continued collaboration and effort. So I want to thank everyone for participating and being part of this call today. We do enjoy the quarterly outreach that we undertake in these regards, and we appreciate all the different questions that come in, not only on the business forecast itself, but on specific items, themes around acquisition and assistance. One of the areas that is often highlighted is selection of instrument. As many of you know, for some time now, we've been working on amplifying guidance around ADS 304, our selection of instrument policy chapter. We've done a number of rounds of engagement with the partner community where you have provided specific helpful feedback in regard to the amplifying guidance. We've had several rounds of meetings here over the last 2 to 3 months based on the more recent rounds of questions that have come in, and are I'm expected to see an initial draft by the end of this week, early next week, as far as incorporating the responses to those inputs. And we're anticipating that sometime during this upcoming third quarter, which begins next week, we will then work on finalizing the amplifying guidance and our efforts. And we know how important this is, not only to the partner community, but internally to us, and both on the procurement and the technical side here at the agency. Secondly, I'd like to take the opportunity to highlight the two priority goals for the agency this year related to procurement that we're reporting to the Office of Management and Budget, OMB, and we do that through performance.gov. They relate, one, to category management, and Deb Broderick here has been spearheading that effort, and we'll be noting that later on in our presentation this morning. And the other one is the partner engagement and procurement reform effort that Randy has just highlighted. Historically, too, procurement action lead time has always been a prior goal, and we continue to focus on PALT and our reform efforts as well. In regard to category management, in case some of you haven't heard, it's a government-wide initiative to identify and replicate best-in-class procurement processes and vehicles across agencies in order to increase efficiencies and reduce costs, especially around similar type buys throughout the federal government. OMB has set a government-wide goal of 35% of available dollars being allocated to best-in-class contracting mechanisms, while also decreasing what they call unmanaged spend or ad hoc individual contracts by 20%. So category management is one of our priorities goals. Again, it's a goal across the federal government, but also one with our agency. Please note, because this deals with both, our calls deal with both acquisition assistance, category management specifically deals with the acquisition contract side of the house. Another priority goal related to our current work, which encompasses all acquisition and assistance, is effective partnering and procurement reform. This goal is, as been noted, relates to finding better ways of collaboration, co-creation with USAID partnering and procurement approaches. By September of 2019, USAID will increase the use of collaborative partnering methods and co-creation within new awards, measured by both dollars and percentage of actions that are utilizing techniques that foster collaboration. We'll be determining those baselines based on FY 2018. When we talk about co-creation, collaboration, partner methods, many people think of the broad agency announcements. I know you've seen that highlighted in testimony and or speeches by the administrator or agency leadership, but we fully understand, and we have highlighted across the community, that there are various ways of incorporating collaboration and co-creation approaches into existing mechanisms, such as requests for information, utilizing draft statements of work, statement of objectives, concept papers, and those type of approaches, which allow greater response and engagement and reaction from our partners throughout the design, solicitation, implementation process. Our objective throughout this year is to define what we mean by collaboration and co-creation, to fine-tune that, and to update our internal planning systems and tracking collaborative methods. We've been undertaking that within our system for the baseline data information to move forward in FY19 on these particular efforts. So I just, again, wanted to take the opportunity to highlight these particular priority goals and key issues we've been dealing with. And we do really appreciate having Mauricio Vera here to highlight small business-related matters and the goals and accomplishments of our agency. So thank you, Mauricio.
Well, thank you, Mark. Really appreciate the opportunity to be here. We really appreciate the opportunity to engage and participate in these quarterly calls. So I wanted to give you all a quick update on some of the highlights of what's going on at our office and some of the points of interest that I think people have been asking about. As many of you know, the past couple of years in the small business office, we have been focusing our quite a bit of our efforts on expanding our goaling program to overseas and making sure that there are additional opportunities for small businesses at our overseas missions. Many of you may have attended the first overseas outreach event that we did back in late 2016 in South Africa, and since then we've been focusing on expanding our training program that we've been so far to about 30 missions in the past few years. One exciting development for this year is that we have started targeting the missions in terms of setting targets for the individual mission, small business targets. We piloted a program, we call it the Mission Small Business Goaling Program, at 16 missions this year. And we've been asked numerous times about which missions are actually participating in that pilot, and if I could, I will go over the list quickly so that you all can have it in the transcript. Those missions are spread out in all of the regions around the world. The countries specifically are Ghana, Liberia, Tanzania, Uganda, Zambia, Bangladesh, Philippines, Vietnam, Pakistan, Ukraine, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Peru, Guatemala, Honduras, Jordan, and Morocco. We plan to expand that program to about another 15 missions this next year, and then by fiscal year 2020, we plan to have with all the missions, which is about 60 of them around the world, that have acquisition obligations over $5 million. We're confident that this program will serve as an opportunity to showcase the expertise of entrepreneurs, and it will enhance the capacity of our country partners as well. One of the things that we've also been doing, I mentioned the training program. I just got back personally from a training tour of Pakistan and Jordan missions, and it was, by many measures, very successful. You know, we tend to communicate with the missions all the time. We have staff that works actually with the missions and going over their acquisition plans, and we have a lot of calls, emails, and a lot of interaction. But there's nothing really like going there and talking to folks face-to-face and, you know, talking to the leadership and talking to the acquisition staff. So in this recent trip that we had to Pakistan and Jordan, we came back with a couple of significant opportunities, one of which from the Pakistan mission that was posted as a sources sought notice back a few weeks ago for capacity development work in Pakistan. The other one, which is also very exciting, is an opportunity out of the Jordan mission, which is in the monitoring and evaluation space. This is a total small business set-aside, and we've been working with the mission and actually organizing a pre-solicitation conference that will take place on April 13th here at the close to our headquarters at the National Press Club. We put a notice on FedBizOps about it. So if you're interested, I would highly encourage you to participate in that. And we are having some colleagues from the Jordan mission come out here to actually talk about the opportunity. And then the plan is to eventually maybe go back to Jordan and do a pre-proposal conference back there. So we're very excited about that. So maintaining our level of excellence in partnering with U.S. small businesses is going to require us to continue our commitment both in Washington and the field. As Randy Tipp provided you an overview of the partnering and procurement reform initiative, my team and I are involved in the procurement reform work groups, and we also continue to incorporate aspects of procurement reform into how we engage with the small business community. So you heard about the expansion of the partner base. Well, I can guarantee you that U.S. small businesses are part of that. One last thing that I wanted to mention is that many of you attend our annual Small Business Conference. We have a tentative date of July 11th for this year's conference, so more to come on that, about the details of that, and the registration process will probably open a few weeks from now, but we certainly encourage you to contact us about that. Lastly, I just want to say that, again, with the procurement reform effort, this exemplifies collaboration at various levels, and we are all engaged in ensuring that we continue to build a diverse cadre of capable small business partners. Thanks again, Mark, for the and Matt, for inviting us, and I'll turn it back over to Matt.
Thank you, Mauricio. just want to move into, I think we've got five questions that were submitted as a part of the business forecast Q&A that we want to go over now. Mark, the first question is for you. Folks have seen quite a few changes to anticipated solicitation release dates, particularly moving dates back. Is there a systematic issue that's causing these delays?
Thanks, Matt. No, I wouldn't review it as any one single or systematic issues. Obviously, a variety of things go into trying to anticipate the actual dates. We recognize and we try to do our best efforts in anticipating those, but there could be a variety of factors in the design process, et cetera, that could impact our need to actually revise those dates. As we look across our acquisition and assistance data for FY18 compared to FY17 at the same time, we do have a similar number of transactions, be they modifications, new awards, et cetera, that we are processing in a similar time frame as in the prior fiscal year. However, on the obligation side, we are behind, we're about $1 billion or so less at this point in the fiscal year on the obligation front. We're all excited, obviously, and I'm assuming the partners as well, now that we have a budget passed for FY 2018, and I fully anticipate that the obligation amounts associated with new and ongoing transactions will be readily picking up during these next two quarters.
Thanks, Mark. The next two questions are related to broad agency announcements, or BAAs, as they're often called, referred to. Partner commented that they've seen a large increase in the number of operating using BAAs. And the question is, can USAID confirm that a BAA process can result in a cooperative agreement, contract, grant, and that the eventual programmatic delivery is not limited to a specific mechanism?
Thanks, Matt. And that is correct. The broad agency announcement BAA process can result in any type of award, be it contract, grant, cooperative agreement, et cetera, and they could have any type of pricing arrangement, cost reimbursement, fixed amount, and so forth. We do realize, we act, as you, the partners, and as us internally, we track the BAA processes. We know that there has been a high number of awards of cooperative agreements and a smaller number of awards on the contract side. We continue to note and emphasize in training and outreach, and we have all received comments and suggestions as part of the listening tour as well. And internally and externally, we're also trying to highlight, again, the BAA is one tool. It's not the only tool in which we can use collaboration and co-creation processes, and we'll be continuing to move forward on those fronts. And at the end of the day, whether we're using a BAA or other type of process, we are supposed to be documenting and making those determinations based on ADS 304 and the principal purpose of the award and selection of instrument.
Thanks, Mark. The next question, also related to BAAs, sort of has two parts to it. What has USAID learned from its growing use of BAAs, and does USAID continue to intend to continue or increase the use of BAAs in the future?
USAID, we continue to consult with our missions, operating units, colleagues here as they use the BAA process to identify lessons learned, challenges, best practices. We do use this information to inform the co-creation process, the workshops, and other internal training through our acquisition and assistance labs. We believe it's one tool of a variety of tools. Our intent is to continue to use the BAA in the appropriate application, research and development, applied research and development. And it's one of various tools that we will call upon, again, in association with a variety of other tools. And more broadly, as noted earlier, we continue to increase opportunities, and the whole procurement reform and partner engagement effort is trying to look for various ways that we can empower partners, stakeholders, and engagement, and feed in innovative approaches into our solicitation and award processes and implementation.
Thank you, Mark. Next question is for you, Mauricio, just related to small business targets. Given USAID's focus to meet or exceed small business targets for mission and Bureau and mission-related procurements, Would USCD consider implementing 13 CFR 125.6 in the ADAR, since the final rule has not yet been promulgated by the FAR Council, and the SBA rule has been final for almost 2 years? Other agencies have done so in their acquisition regulations. GAO has affirmed individual agencies the right to do so.
Well, to summarize, 13 CFR 125.6 is referred often to as limitations on subcontracting. It precludes the prime small business from paying more than 50% of the dollars awarded under a single federal contract to another small business that is not similarly situated. For example, a woman-owned small business cannot award more than 50% of the total contract dollars to another woman-owned small business. We do not have any plans to implement 13 CFR 125.6 in the ADAR, as it was not included on the agency's unified agenda. Any new rules need to comply with the new regulatory requirements, which are very stringent. The FAR rule is currently with the Civilian Agency Acquisition Council legal office. They are working to resolve comments on the regulatory cost analysis required by EO 13771. Once approved, it will be submitted to the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. The rule is currently written as interim final, so it is best for us to wait until the FAR rule is published.
Thank you, Mauricio. Last question I want to turn to you, Deb. Mark talked a little bit about category management earlier. Obviously, this government-wide initiative on category management, I think several folks have noted, it creates challenges for U.S. small businesses to work with USAID. Do you have any advice or input for small businesses with regards to category management?
Sure. Thanks, Matt. So we agree that it is challenging for small businesses to participate on the multiple award schedule. However, there are two multiple award schedules that I would highlight where USAID typically awards to small businesses. The OASIS, which is a best-in-class IDIQ that we take many awards under, and the second one would be the professional services schedule that was formerly MOBIS. And although that's not a best-in-class vehicle under category management, it is considered to be spend under management. So it's like the second tier, and so the agency would still get credit towards our goals by using the PSS schedule. So awards under either of these vehicles will further the agency's goals, and we would recommend that businesses look at those. For more information, you should go to the GSA Acquisition Gateway. There's more information out there. And if you have any specific questions, you can write to our ombudsman, and she'll forward those questions to me if need be.
And this is Mauricio. If I could just add something about category management, because we do work very closely with Deborah and Mark and the team here on making sure that anything that goes forward in category management considers our small business goals. We're also working on an interagency level among my counterparts, the OSDBU directors, working directly with the Small Business Administration and the Office of Federal Procurement Policy in making sure that government-wide requirements take into consideration the small business targets. One last thing that I will say is that many of you may have seen the President's management agenda that was released recently, and one of the cross-agency priority goals, what they call CAP goal number 7, which is on category management, talks about strategies, and it says specifically, and word for word, establish annual goals to leverage common contract solutions, which is category management, while meeting small business and other statutory socioeconomic goals. So we will all keep that in mind as we move forward on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mauricio and Deb. Mark, that was the last question we had. I don't know if you have any closing comments you want to make before we end the call.
First, again, I just want to thank everyone again for the robust questions that you submit each quarter. And just to remind everyone that the business forecast is a live feed. You don't have to wait till quarterly calls in to raise particular questions or issues, which you see based on opportunities as they come up on the forecast. And we welcome them throughout the entire year at any point in time so we can readily engage in those activities. I greatly appreciate all the work with Matt and Jeff and the communications team, as well as Randy, Mauricio, Deb, and others, both on the Foreign Service side, Luis, Rafael, Jorge, others, and then on the Washington side, Charity, Jamie, and the division branch chiefs. It takes a lot of outreach to these questions to get the appropriate answers, and we do welcome them and appreciate all the work that goes into them, and we hope that the community finds them helpful and meaningful as we get ready to post them later today. So. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Mark. And just as a reminder, I mentioned this early on the call for those who joined a little bit late, we will be posting the responses to all the questions as well as the recording of the transcript on our Business Forecast webpage later today, and we'll notify you through our email distribution list as well as through our Twitter handle, which is at USAIDBizOps. So thank you once again, everyone, and we will talk to you sometime next quarter. Bye.